Uganda's an ink stand. Got enough light?
You don't want to take them. Is that going to be all right? Just take me if I get in the shop.
Right, I've had the opportunity to talk with the Secretary General about the agenda for the meeting. As I've been saying to Kiwi media, the Pacific plan's very much at the heart of this meeting. It's been 2 years in the gestation from the time of the Auckland Forum. Secretary General and his staff have done a tremendous amount of work pulling it together and working with other governments and ensuring that consultation's gone on right around the Pacific. That is very much the feature of the meeting, and the soundings I'm taking from Pacific leaders is that generally it's looking very positive.
Ms. Clark, are you going to be in a position to put any flesh on any of these ideas, to costs, how it will be done, that sort of thing?
Yes, well, obviously, as a general proposition, the next phase, assuming the plan is adopted, will be a heavy implementation phase. There are a couple of things to say about it. The first thing is that in terms of the implementation for the first 3 years, many of the things that we'll be getting on with are extensions of existing activity, and the corollary of that is that it involves, where resources are required, it involves ongoing activity by various of our partners. So we've been talking to them about the ways in which they might extend that. As a generalisation, I would say that over the first 3 years, the resource issue will not loom phenomenally large, but there'll be considerable resources devoted to it, but they are well on the way towards identification. It's when we get into that second and third 3 year period that more work will be required from that point of view.
What are the priority projects, though, Mr. Irwin?
Oh, well, it's there in the plan. I think one of its characteristics is it's a pretty practical set of objectives, because the devil's always in the detail, but I wouldn't put particular priority on things. I think that some of those things, the things in the trade package obviously have got considerable implications, and some of the things in the governance package, because I think in a number of those areas, implementation can be quite quick. And so I think if we've made some very early progress in those two areas, we'll have done reasonably.
Would it make Pacific Island groups compete with each other, though, to get certain things done?
I wouldn't have thought so, no. I mean, that's the whole idea is to enhance regional cooperation. I think it needs to be kept in mind that for all of these measures, in particular cases, countries will make judgments about how they advantage them in particular, and so there'll be that kind of differentiation. We'd also envisage that in some cases we'd be moving on a sort of sub-regional basis rather than a total regional basis, but I think it's got that flexibility.
Ms. Clark, yesterday you both visited the Pacific Island NGO Forum, and you were both presented with materials to give to the other leaders, including information about West Papua. Is it your intention to raise the matters that were raised at the NGO at the Madang summit?
I understand some other delegations may come with a brief from their governments to raise it, and New Zealand has in the past been helpful with wording to ensure that the issues in West Papua are discussed, and there is a position from the forum. The position has generally been to urge both sides in the conflict and dispute and difference in West Papua to reconcile their differences peacefully, and I think the issue will continue to come onto the Pacific Island Forum agenda simply because West Papuans are Melanesian people and there's a great feeling of affinity in the region for them.
Their main issue for them is to get observer status to the Pacific Island Forum. Is there any chance that
there's no prospect of that. They would not meet the observer criteria.
You spoke of your personal sympathy, basically, by reminiscing over the tramping across West Papua 15 years ago.
I've been to West Papua. I went with an official from the New Zealand Embassy in Jakarta, going back to around 1986, as I recall. And that gave me some insight into the country and its topography. I had the opportunity at the time to speak with the Catholic bishop in Jayapura and officials from the Indonesian government. I think it will continue to come onto the forum agenda because of concern about conflict there, and we need to listen and respond to that. But I think the key message has to be that the two sides have to settle their differences peacefully.
Is it an issue that's likely to be raised at the post-forum dialogue directly with Indonesia?
I would have no idea.
It may well do so. I would not be surprised if it was the Indonesian side that raised it. There have been some developments from their point of view, and I think they may well wish to tell the dialogue partners about it.
Ms. Clarke, are you feeling fairly positive that the Pacific plan will be agreed to?
There's been so much work done on it by the Forum Secretariat and by individual member governments, so much consultation, I think that it's got up ahead of steam. But it's going to be an evolving story. It will be under continual review. We'll keep talking. But I think it does prioritise things that are important in the development of the region.
Prime Minister, one of the issues you've raised, which will come up at the retreat, is the HIV situation. Would you mind just reiterating the situation as you see that facing the Pacific?
Geographical isolation does not protect a country from HIV/AIDS. It's a deadly virus. It is present in the Pacific, and in countries like Papua New Guinea, it's showing signs of being on the same trajectory and trend line as it was in Southern Africa maybe a decade and a half ago. So it's a very, very serious issue. And that's why New Zealand Aid has prioritised support for those who are working to prevent the spread of the virus and also to support those who work with people who have contracted it.
Ms. Clarke, to implement the plan, you're going to require the support of civil society. There has traditionally been quite some gulf between most governments and civil society, maybe not in New Zealand's case, but this gulf still exists. So how do you bridge it?
It's fair to say that New Zealand has been in the vanguard of member countries in urging a role for civil society because that's the way we operate, and we think that there are things that governments can do, but there are things that governments need the support of the NGO sector to do. So from the time of the Auckland Forum, it was decided that there would be a civil society forum which would precede the forum leaders' meeting so that they could discuss issues and concerns and convey them through the Secretary-General to the meeting. I think it's a question of evolution in the Pacific. It's a question of raising comfort levels in engaging with NGOs. Of course, governments are very conscious that they are elected, NGOs aren't, so in a sense their position can be all care, no responsibility, but it's important that there is an interaction and a dialogue.
A lot of things though in their statement last night, some very forthright things they're calling to stop or to slow down. Are any of those things going to occur at the forum, do you think?
I heard some things which wouldn't be on the forum's agenda now or in the foreseeable future. But it's important that the voices of NGOs are heard.
Prime Minister, you're anticipating taking up the issues of Tongan democracy with the next bilateral meeting. Have you got a message for the Tongans over what's happening there?
My understanding is that part of the resolution to the strike in Tonga was agreement that there would be more discussion about a path to a democratic government. And I'll be wanting to hear what the Tongans are proposing in that regard.
Ms. Clarke, there's been some controversy about some remarks that Winston Peters perhaps didn't make in Australia.
If indeed, there can't be controversy about things you never said.
But if indeed he had said what he is reported to have said, would that be a bad thing to say?
What I can say is, firstly, there's no point commenting on things that are never said. Secondly, New Zealand is more than competent to paddle its own canoe.
We don't need Australia's help then.
We are very competent to paddle our own canoe.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.